The Ethics, Election, and Open Government Subcommittee meeting will now come to order. Tamara, please call the roll.
Chair Fabricio.
Here.
Vice Chair Barnaby.
Here.
Democratic Ranking Member Arrington.
Here.
Representatives Beltran.
Here.
Bracy Davis.
Here.
Caruso.
Here.
Cheney.
Here.
Gant.
Here.
Griffiths.
Here.
Harris.
Here.
Holcomb.
Here.
Killebrew.
Yes, ma'am.
Coster excused. Porras.
Here.
Rizzo.
Here.
Robinson.
Here.
Tremont.
Here.
Quorum is present.
Thank you, Tamara. Please make sure cell phones and other communication devices, including laptops, are turned off or placed in silent mode. If members of the public wish to speak, please fill out an appearance form and give it to staff. We have a very full agenda today, so as those who've been following, we like to move pretty quickly. So let's kick it off. We're going to start with CS for HB 379, Public Records, Financial Information Regarding Competitive Bidding by Transportation and Modal Subcommittee. Representative Trunau, you are recognized.
Thank you, Chair and members. This bill is simple. Florida law currently provides public records exemptions for which cover the financial statements provided by a contractor applying for pre-qualification, but Florida law does not exempt from public disclosure any additional financial information. This bill covers the additional financial information. That is the bill.
Thank you, Representative. Members, we're in questions. Questions? Seeing none, there are no amendments. Public testimony? No public testimony received. Members, we're in debate. Any debate? Seeing none, Representative Trunau, you are recognized to wave close on your bill.
Wave.
Thank you, sir. Tamara, please call the roll on CS for HB 379.
Representatives Arrington.
Yes.
Barnaby.
Yes.
Beltran.
Yes.
Bracy Davis.
Yes.
Caruso.
Yes.
Cheney. Gant.
Yes.
Griffiths.
Yes.
Harris.
Yes.
Holcomb.
Yes.
Killebrew.
Yes, ma'am.
Porras.
Yes.
Rizzo.
Yes.
Robinson.
Yes.
Tremont.
Yes.
Chair Fabricio.
Yes.
15 yeas, 0 nays.
Show CS for HB 379 reported favorably. Congratulations. All right, moving right along. Next, we're looking at PCS for HB 1597 Ethics by Representative Brackett. Representative Brackett, you are recognized to explain the PCB. Just in time.
Thank you, Chair, Vice Chair, Ranking Member. PCS for HB 1597 makes changes to the Code of Ethics, creating timeframes in completion of investigations, probable cause determinations, and alleged ethics violations. It also establishes a one-year deadline for the completion of preliminary investigation, which runs from the beginning of the investigation to the probable cause determination. That is the bill.
Thank you, Representative. We're in questions. Members, questions? Seeing none, there are no amendments. Public testimony. All right. Ms. Clancake with the Florida Ethics Institute wishes to appear. Did I pronounce your name correctly, ma'am?
It's Caroline Clanky. I'm the executive director of the Florida Ethics Institute, and I want to thank you for this opportunity to speak with you on the PCS for HB 1597. I'm here to testify in support of the PCS as it pertains to the Code of Ethics for Public Officers and Employees. We support the adoption of more reasonable timeframes for the adjudication of ethics complaint proceedings as set forth in this PCS. We note, however, that the Commission on Ethics itself, absent any legislative encouragement, has on its own accord, under the current administration, expedited its own internal timeframes for ethics complaints and has done away with more than 90% of its complaint backlog as of this day in the past 2 years. In addition, we wanted to echo the concerns expressed by the chairman of the Commission on Ethics testifying before the Senate Rules Committee on the companion bill, SB 7014, on January 10th of this year. And with respect to the language appearing on lines 264 to 266 of the current PCS to 1597. This language requires that at least 6 members of the Commission on Ethics must vote to reject or deviate from the written recommendation of the Commission's attorney, which they refer to as the Commission Advocate. By law, the composition of the Commission on Ethics consists of a politically balanced board comprised of the top legal and ethical minds Florida has. And as of 2024, they will file the highest form of financial transparency via the Form 6, a requirement that is not applicable to their counsel. But they are entirely uncompensated board members, and which, by necessity, many of them have full-time jobs. Thus, it is often and very seldom that all 9 members of the board are present at any given meeting. For example, the last 3 board meetings of the Commission on Ethics have had less than 9 members. Thus, we believe the requirement of the 6-member supermajority in these lines to deviate from written recommendations of their advocate could be overly onerous on the commission. Further, unlike the commission's advocate, who writes her recommendation based entirely upon the written filings, the board is also able to consider the oral presentations of the accused at the meeting before they make their determination. Thus, we believe that the Commission on Ethics should continue to be able to deviate from the written recommendation of their attorney advocate by simple majority vote. And as such, we humbly request further consideration and possible removal of this language from the bill on a going forward basis.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We have a very packed calendar today. Thank you. Next, we have Mr. Zilkowski, also from the, Mr. Zilkowski from the Commission on Ethics, proponent of the bill, wishing to appear.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Vice Chair Barnaby, Ranking Member Arrington, thank you for having me. My name is Steven Zilkowski. I am the Deputy Executive Director and General Counsel for the State of Florida Commission on Ethics, here to speak on information on the bill. I want to thank Representative Brackett for sponsoring the bill and the staff of the House Ethics, Elections, and Open Government Subcommittee for its work on the bill. We are also very grateful for the work that's been put in on this bill with the Senate Ethics and Elections Committee, who the commission staff has been working with closely to make amendments to the language on this bill, and we've seen language included, which is now present in this PCS, that is the result of the work between our staff and the staff of the two chambers. The commission meets every 6 to 7 weeks and has not yet met to consider its position on this bill, but I'll be speaking primarily from an implementation standpoint on it. This bill includes 2 of the legislative recommendations that the commission proposed earlier this year, raising penalties for in-office and post-office lobbying restrictions to $20,000 to match other penalties in the statute, and then allowing candidates to file petitions to seek fees and costs to match what public officers and public employees are already able to do. Yes. Yes, sir. So to be super quick then, the commission understands the goals of this bill and appreciates the goals of this bill and believes that we can implement this with some additional resources, including staffing and a case management system necessary to keep up with these deadlines, and then time. One of the things that this PCS does is it moves the effective date from July to October, which allows us to train our staff and do rulemaking. That's a very important thing. The PCS also increases the amount of the length of our investigations from 120 to 150 days, which is crucial for us to be able to do. Lastly, my chair asked me to make a brief comment on lines 264 to 266 of the bill. You've already heard some of those comments reiterated. I won't reiterate all of them again. Just to be brief, it requires that 6 votes be required to deviate from our commission advocate's recommendation. Our chair feels that that might have some logistical concerns, some constitutional concerns, and it might affect the due process that our respondents are able to enjoy, because the commission advocate is making their decision, which carries weight, without any input or having heard any arguments from the respondent. And it would take 6 members of our commission to overturn that after having heard all the arguments in the case in the probable cause hearing. With that, I am able to answer any questions, and I just want to let you know that we will continue to work with staff to improve and develop the bill, and we thank Representative Brackett for bringing it.
Thank you so much. Members, we're in debate. We're in debate, members. Representative Beltran?
Thank you, Chairman, and thank you, Rep, for the bill, and thank you for the public commentary as well. I got to say, supermajority to deviate from the council's recommendation, I was reading the bill, and I appreciate our conversation on the floor. I think we didn't discuss that facet of the bill on the floor, though, yesterday, but I do appreciate you approaching me. It kind of stood out to me as well. I didn't, I guess maybe I should have texted you last night, but I didn't really understand the reason for that. Now that we've heard from the public, for public comment portion, I think that does need to be changed. I mean, I think I don't have very little knowledge of this agency, which is, I suppose, is a good thing because I'm an elected official. But I don't want to really learn any more than I need to cast an intelligent vote on this bill. But it seems to me that if the council, if the commission's reviewing something, the council's recommended some sort of punishment or enforcement action. If indeed after the hearing it turns out that there should not be an enforcement action, it shouldn't take a supermajority to acquit or exonerate the person who's been accused. If the bill said that to heighten the penalty or to heighten the charge, you needed a supermajority, I could understand that. But I think in terms of due process and giving the benefit to the defendant, recognizing it's not necessarily a criminal procedure, but nonetheless carries significant consequences, I think it shouldn't take a supermajority to be acquitted or exonerated or to get the charges dismissed or whatever the process is. So perhaps you can make that change at a further stop, or there should be more discussion on that. Thank you.
Representative Robin F. in debate.
I'm going to keep it really short. That's my concern also when we're talking about the supermajority to 6. I just want to make sure I note that. I hope that you'll take a look at that and that we can probably make some changes or, you know, get a little clearer there so that we can move on.
Members, debate. Seeing none, Representative Brackett, you are recognized to close on the PCS.
Thank you, Chairman. Just in follow-up to the comments that were made, not only by the public, but by members of this committee, we just became aware of that. That was a concern last night. So we will be looking at that and be looking to have further conversation with the ethics group and make sure we address all their concerns the best we can. With that, I'll close, Chair.
Thank you very much. Tamara, please call the roll on PCS for HB 1587.
Representatives Arrington?
Yes.
Barnaby?
Yes.
Beltran?
Yes.
Racy Davis?
Yes.
Caruso?
Yes.
Cheney? Gant?
No.
Griffith?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Holcomb?
Yes.
Killebrew?
Yes, ma'am.
Porras?
Yes.
Rizzo?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Tremont?
Yes.
Chair Fabricant?
Yes.
14 yeas, 1 nay.
Thank you. Please show PCS for HB1587 reported favorably as a committee substitute.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we're going to look at CS for HB57, County Commissioner Term Limits by Representative Saltzman. Representative Saltzman, you are recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. HB 57 is a bill that, if passed, would create term limits for county commissioners in Florida. Currently, over 75% of Floridians live in a charter county that has already voted for term limits, and 55% of Floridians live in districts that have already implemented them. 82% of Americans want term limits at every level of government. This bill gives Floridians what they want and sends a message to D.C. that Florida stands with the people. The bill gives 12 years and does not supersede counties with their own limits set at 8. It takes into account the variations in county charters aiming to work with rather than supersede any pre-existing term limits set at the local level. The bill's intention is to allow current commissioners to complete their term and then give them 3 more terms. If they are in a re-election or newly elected this year, they will have 3 full 4-year terms, which will foster the fresh perspectives within local government once they complete their terms. Term limits discourage the development of political classes that prioritizes re-election over effective governance. Officials may focus more on serving the public rather than securing their own political future. And let's do this for the people. That's the bill, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Members, we're in questions. Questions, members? Seeing none? There are no amendments. Public testimony. All right, we have 10 speakers. Okay. So I'm going to ask that the speakers, because we have 10 speakers, we limit the comments to 2 minutes each. That's just general ground rule to be fair for all, to make sure that folks who've traveled from far get to speak and whatnot. First on the list, I have Rocky Ford, representing Columbia County as a Columbia County Commissioner, who wishes to appear. Please approach.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm a commissioner in Columbia County, Florida. Going on my six years as a commissioner. Most of y'all know we are a charter county in Columbia County. So every 8 years, we elect a committee of citizens from Columbia County to review our charter and make changes to the charter. If they want term limits on our ballot, it can be on our ballot, and they have all the right, the citizens of Columbia County have the right to vote for that. I don't think you should pull that right from the citizens of charter counties that are home rule counties. I think if 82% of the people was for this, then it wouldn't be a problem having the people in that county vote for that. Right now, we serve 4-year terms. We have a good turnover of commissioners in Columbia County. We had 2 in 2020, and we had 1 in 2022. So, you know, term limits, I think the people in the county judge by the job that the commissioner are doing if they need to be there or not. So, you know, at the end of the day, I think the citizens in the county, especially charter counties and home rule counties, should have the right to make that choice themselves, not a board over here or the House and the Senate in Tallahassee. I think the citizens should vote for that. And that's pretty much what I have to say.
Thank you so much. I'm going to ask that you hold the questions just in furtherance. You can hold it till debate, if that's okay with you. Next, we have Mr. Bob Mackey, representing Florida Association of Counties, wishes to appear.
Thank you, Chair Fabrizio, members of the committee. I am Bob Mackey with the Florida Association of Counties. You just heard from one county commissioner in a small county that is a charter county. You will hear from more county commissioners around the state. It's important to understand that today there is a mechanism in current law that allows term limits to be placed on county commissioners. 12 million Floridians live in counties where they, the citizens, have already voted to put term limits on their county commissioners. Those were decided by the voters and empowered by their charter. Every county in Florida can become a charter county. 75% of the population lives in charter counties, and 55% live in charter counties that already have term limits. The charters can be initiated by petition, so the citizens hold a key. They can also be amended by petition. So the voters today hold the key to open the door to term limits. What this bill does today is takes that away from the voters and instead places it in the hands of you here in Tallahassee. We think the people in the counties, the ones who are governed by their county commissioners, should have a say in what the structure of their local government looks like. Don't take this away from the people. Leave them that right. They hold the key. They use it to decide what structure they want. They don't need you to do it for them. And as such, you'll hear from our other commissioners that we stand opposed. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we have Terry Burrows, representing Okaloosa County, County Commissioner. You're recognized.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair. It's Okeechobee County.
I apologize.
That's okay. You probably couldn't read my writing. Yeah, that's good. I'm here to testify on the just the process or implementation process of this particular bill. First of all, before I get started, I'd like to thank Representative Salzman for providing the opportunity to meet with her and have a pretty vibrant discussion relative to her bill. We kind of have we agreed to disagree on some things, but I appreciate what you've done for the bill, and I appreciate the fact that you amended it to 12 years. So thank you very much. I'm not going to sit here and reiterate what Bob had just talked about it, but I still think our constituents must maintain the freedom to decide how to implement this bill by local referendum, by county, in order to implement term limits. We have term limits today. If I don't do my job, and it's been a proven fact in Okeechobee County, which we're a small rural county of 40,000 people, they will vote us out. So just think, keep that in consideration when you're working this, going through this bill. We have term limits today. And anybody that comes up after me talks about term limits or rural counties, they're affected by the same process. So thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you, sir. Next, we have Larry Harvey, Commissioner from Putnam County. Hopefully, I did not butcher your name nor your county.
No, not a bit. You did very well. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You're recognized.
I appreciate the opportunity to stand here amongst you. I just came out of an election. And I've been serving since Senator Scott, or actually Governor Scott, appointed me in 2014. What happens in rural Florida, Putnam County is a population of about 73,000 people. So our pool is kind of small when you start looking at elected people. And some of us have really dove into the election process. We've dove into the government process. And we've applied ourselves to be good representatives of our community and good representatives of the people. I would always said back even when term limits were imposed upon y'all, I don't believe in that. I don't believe in term limits at all because we have elections that handle that. And why throw good people out? I remember the days of Sid Martin and George Kirkpatrick and people like that who carried this institution through these hard times. But to throw y'all out because you do a good job, don't put that on the backs of us. Let our citizens decide if they want that to be done. Thank you for your time, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. Next, we have Chris Doolin, Small County Coalition, wishes to appear.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll be relatively brief. I do want to say, you know, we appreciate the extension to 12 years. However, if you're elected in 2020 and this bill goes into effect, you run in 2024, 2028, and 2032. That provides the 12 years. But the bill says if you were elected in 2022, the term limit has started. So it's retroactive. And you'll have 2 years left, so you would be elected. You could run for again in 20, what are we talking about, 20, whatever it is, just two more, because you're in a four-year term. So that is a major issue. The pool, small counties can post people up, but to arbitrarily say to the community that they should not be able to reelect someone that they've elected. You talk about the power of incumbency and all that. The bottom line is these are communities, small communities where people know each other, and so to arbitrarily restrict them, and they face the voters every 4 years. I know good and well that there are many counties. Representative Holcomb comes from Hernando County, and he'll represent how hard it is to be a county commissioner. But in his county, they've elected two new people in the last several election cycles. So clearly, there is an extensive turnover that exists. So I think, and let's talk about, well, we have term, you all have term limits. Why shouldn't the others? Well, look at how you establish term limits. The people voted. This takes away the vote. So I have enjoyed the relationship and look forward to continuing to see if there's an opportunity to make changes here. And I think one of those changes should be allowing any county that doesn't have term limits to vote to have term limits.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next, we have Dr. Rich Templin, representing the Florida ALF CIO.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I do want to apologize to the bill sponsor. I'm kind of a one-man shop, and you guys have really kept me busy the last couple weeks, so I apologize for that. You know, this issue has been dancing around the Capitol for almost two decades. There have been multiple attempts, year after year, to impose term limits on local government, whether it's school boards, county commissions. And we opposed it at the time because these were filed as joint resolutions. And we didn't think it was right for the voters in Miami-Dade to decide what the school board was going to look like in Leon County. This is subverting the entire joint resolution people get to vote process altogether. As a matter of fact, when this bill was initially filed, it was filed as a joint resolution to allow the voters to vote. Now we're simply making this change through statute. I still don't understand why there hasn't been a case filed against the county, the school board bill that passed last year. For a decade, it was always filed as a joint resolution. Then someone said, well, let's just file it as a statute and see what happens. And now we're doing that here as well. Term limits is something to debate. It's a fun debate. I'd love to grab a beer with anybody and debate term limits. But the mechanism through which we're doing this is not the appropriate mechanism. There's got to be some way to allow the voters to have a say. You know, when you impose freedom, is it really freedom? Right? When you impose term limits, I mean, is that really giving the voters freedom or a choice? Because they did not choose that for themselves. So please consider this moving forward. And if nothing else, try to find a mechanism that lets the voters have a say in this important decision.
Thank you so much. Next, we have Mr. Ralph Thomas, representing Wakulla County, Florida Association of County. Wishes to appear. There you are, sir.
Thank you, sir.
You're recognized.
I am a commissioner in Wakulla County. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee members. After the 1787 Constitutional Convention, Benjamin Franklin was asked, what have we got, a republic or a monarchy? His reply, a republic, if you can keep it. Webster defines a republic as a government in which supreme power resides in a body of citizens entitled to vote and is exercised by elected officers and representatives responsible to them and governing according to law. For years now, I have come to this esteemed body and I have stood up for the citizens I swore an oath to serve. I have fought for their right to choose what is best for their community and their families. Today, I stand here to fight for the right to choose who best represents them. I'm also here to stand for the rights for them to impose term limits on their elected officials or to forego term limits based on the needs and desires of their unique community. Since 1968, all counties in the state of Florida have had the ability to implement term limits. Why is this important? It's important because the current system works. It ain't broke. Voters know their local elected officials better than they know their state elected officials. They live with us. They go to church with us. They buy their groceries with us. They pump their gas with us. They attend PTA meetings with us. They sit in the sports stands and cheer with us. If we serve them well, they recognize our service and they keep us in office. If we don't serve them well, they replace us with someone who will. In fact, the average time in office for a county commissioner in the state of Florida is 5 years. We know 55% of the population lives in a county that has term limits. 45% do not. If we look at only the counties without term limits, we learn the average time in office for a county commissioner is 5.57 years. In those counties, term limits are frequently imposed today at the ballot box. They fire us and they replace us when we do not serve them well. Our system works. I stand here not opposed to term limits at all. I stand here opposed to a political agenda that proposes to weaken the supreme power of the citizens we promise to serve by restricting their power to vote.
Sir, I'm going to ask you to bring it in for a landing.
Yes, sir, I will. I encourage you to stand strong with me for our republic if we can keep it. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we have Renee Flowers representing the FAC who wishes to speak. Ma'am, you're recognized.
Good afternoon. I'm not going to reiterate what has already been shared when it comes to term limits, but I just want to make sure that some information is corrected for the record. I'm a county commissioner in Pinellas County, and I will tell you that voters do vote, and they know what to do when they're not happy with the representation from their county. Just recently, we had an incumbent who was removed from office because someone ran against them, and an individual who had never served in elected office before won that election. Prior to that, we had two commissioners who were placed on the ballot, and they were no longer seated because someone beat them out of their office. That's what term limits are. And when you give individuals who we say that we want to make sure that their voices are heard, and we say that we're doing it for the American people or for Floridians, we should continue to want to give those Floridians the opportunity to vote for who it is that they desire. I'll give you a very personal example. I ran for office in 2020. I was elected. I had five opponents. I was elected in 2020. In 2022, I had to run again. Why? Because a bill was filed that said that during the year of redistricting, if you ran for office and won your office in 2020 and your lines changed, you had to run again. So I had to run again after I had just won office 13 months ago. I'm running again now for my office. And so the community has spoken when they saw that there was affirmative leadership in my representation. I am asking that you continue to allow the voters' voices to be heard. They know, and they are very well educated. They know who they want to represent them. And when they go to the ballot box, they in fact do that. I don't have a problem with term limits because term limits simply means that those individuals who are registered voters, 980,000 plus in Pinellas County, have an opportunity to go to the ballot box and vote for the person or persons who they desire to represent them. I thank you for your time.
Thank you so much. Next, we have Commissioner Matt Brooks representing Levy County. Commissioner Brooks, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, committee members, for hearing us today. I was elected in 2016, and I unseated a 16-year incumbent. So I'm standing here before you today just to impress upon you that, yes, term limits are already in our county, and our voters are imposing them upon incumbents. In Levy County, we have currently two commissioners in their first terms. Later this year, we will add another first-term commissioner. In 2026, we could potentially have a fourth first-term commissioner added to our board, which will be decided by the voters of Levy County. Forced turnover is never good business. This bill has taken the decision out of the hands of Levy County voters and trying to solve a problem that simply does not exist in our county. I'd implore you to consider sending this decision to each county to be voted on as it should be. I also just want to mention that I don't think that DC is going to receive any message that we try to send them, and I don't think this bill will do that. but I thank you for allowing me this opportunity today.
Thank you. Do we have a Sharola Burnett? If so, I may be butchering your name. All right, we're going to move on. Wave in opposition. And your name, ma'am? Shonda, I apologize. Thank you. We have Jesse Ware, representing self, waves in opposition. Next, we have Brian Nathan, waves in opposition. Next, we have Elizabeth Frankenfeld, representing self, waves in opposition. Next, we have Emily Greist, representing self, waves in opposition. Next, we have Heather Fox, representing self, waves in opposition. Next, we have Ms. Walters, representing self, waves in opposition. Next, we have Tim Adams, waves in opposition. Next, we have Curtis Hirico, waves in opposition. Next, we have Alan Schopino, waves in opposition. Next, we have Sarah Sebsky, waves in opposition. Next, we have Shafane Selfsky, waves in opposition. Next, we have Alonda McCarthy, waves in opposition. Next, we have Ruthie Davis Schaubach, representing Citrus County Commissioner, waves in opposition. Okay. Okay, very good. That's it for public testimony. Members, we're in debate. Representative Bracey Davis, in debate.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Rep. Salzman, for reaching out to me and for our conversations. I am respectfully in disagreement with this bill and will be voting down. I do take exception to the point that Florida stands with the people with this bill. I believe, and I thank all the speakers that have come and spoken today. What this is not about term limits. This is about preemption. And I think that we should let the cities and the counties and the people back home decide what happened in their county. And to say that this is a bill that says that Florida stands with the people, we've already heard the people speak today that let local business stay local. And it kind of confuses me how oftentimes we talk about our local mayors and how excited we are to welcome them into the chamber and our local commissioners, but then we'd like to involve ourselves in the business of what happens locally. So I do take exception to this. I think someone made mention today that our voters are educated. So let's trust the voters. Let's trust the community. Let's trust what they want for their community, as opposed to legislating what happens to them in places from people that don't necessarily live with them. I love the gentleman that said, you know, these are our folks, our constituents, the people that we go to games with and the people that we pump gas with. I understand that, and we want you to do your job at home. So I represent Orange County, Florida, and while Orange County does have term limits. They've decided that. Their charter has decided that. We didn't decide that. The people of Orange County decided what to do with their county, and I think that's what it should be for all of us. So I will respectfully be voting down on this bill. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Representative Beltran, in debate.
Thank you, Chairman. I guess I first want to acknowledge the commentary from a lot of the elected officials from around the state, particularly the small counties. You guys have made your points pretty well. I understand your concern, and somebody said essentially in small counties there may be a relatively shallow bench due to the limited population, and certainly that didn't show today. I think everyone's come up and really had a robust debate and articulated your constituents' views very well, so I appreciate that. But and then there was also some commentary about, you know, limiting the voters' choice, and I guess that's valid as well. But I guess for me, this, you know, it comes down to voting for what my constituents think is best and what's good for one of the counties I represent, which is Hillsborough County. And not necessarily get into philosophical discussions about whether term limits are good or bad. I think Mr. Templin and I maybe will have that discussion over a beer or whatnot, or even home rule. I think that's also a little more esoteric than what I want to talk about, which is in Hillsborough County, we adopted term limits, but we got a huge loophole in Hillsborough County. So we got a couple of countywide commissioners, and then we got a couple of single-member districts. And we've got folks who are hopping back and forth between the single-member district and the countywide. It's Hillsborough Day, so it's going to be very awkward at the reception tonight. the point is my constituents very clearly did elect to have term limits, but because, frankly, of a drafting error for which Rep. Saltzman's bill is better drafted than what we got back home in Hillsborough, due to a drafting error, there's essentially a loophole that's been exploited successfully and unsuccessfully really since I moved to Hillsborough in 2010. And it's kind of a joke. And we sit around and complain about people hopping back and forth, but we don't change that. And in some cases, we continue to elect folks. I don't know what to make of that, but I think it's pretty clear that the folks who elected me and supported me would want me to vote for this piece of legislation, notwithstanding the interest to some other counties or kind of greater philosophical discussions about term limits. So that's how I'm going to vote today. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Tremont in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And thank you, Representative, for bringing this great American bill, restoring this to the people. I would simply say, just two quick things. First of all, many of these, just point out a clarification, many of these charter review boards are appointed by the commissioner, the commission that is sitting. So there's certainly a vested interest there. And I'd also maybe just add and challenge anybody that's running that feels this passionately about it. See, I've served in local governments for a long time, and I'm well aware that very few people actually pay attention to the intricacies of the local governments and certainly the charter. So I guess if there really is an appetite, I guess I would challenge somebody to run for the state house, file a bill that repeals this, and go back and get 50+1% of the signatures, tell them exactly what this is going to do, campaign on an issue of term limits, and if they can get that kind of support from the people, I'll be the first co-sponsor. But I don't see that happening in reality. Thank you for this great bill.
Okay, Representative Griffiths in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Rep. Saltzman. As a former county commissioner, I had my concerns. You've been nothing but transparent and open with our conversations, and I just want to tell you that I appreciate that. I really do. This is obviously not popular with a lot of the smaller counties, but at the end of the day, this is good policy, so I appreciate you bringing it forward. And with that, I'll be up today.
All right, very good. Representative Harris in debate.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chair. So I see this as a preemption bill, and I feel like we've done a lot of that in the last session. I can say that people are frustrated, and I think that what's maybe more unpopular or more has a bigger approval rating than term limits is probably people wanting to control their local communities. I think instead of sending a message to Washington, the message that's being sent is to small communities that Tallahassee's in charge of you. We decide how you're going to run. We decide how you're going to be elected. We decide, you know, all that. For that reason, I have to vote down on this because I believe that my community is so much different than, I mean, that's the thing about Florida that we love so much, right? It's very, very diverse. And Orange County is so different than some of these counties that are more rural. And they should have the right to decide what is best for them. And so I want to keep it like that for them. So I'll be down on this bill. But thank you.
Representative Robinson F. in debate.
Thank you, Chair. And thank you, Representative Salzman, for reaching out. For me, I come from local government also. And I would say my county, Miami-Dade County, we do have term limits. But again, it was voted by on the people in the county. And that's where I think it should stay. I know it was a comment made that, you know, people don't really pay attention. But from my experience, my 8 years in local government, government is closest to the people. People show up, they see me in the grocery store, they see me at the meetings, and they really pay attention. And when we had that opportunity to determine whether we were going to go to term limits in Miami-Dade County, people showed up and they voted for it. And that's why we have it. And I just think that one of the reasons I actually came to the State House is in hopes that I could make a balance between state government and local government, because we need a balance there. And I don't think that we should legislate everything from the state. That's why we have the individual counties and cities, because government should be closest to the people and not from the state. So for that reason, I'm going to have to vote this down today.
Representative Holcomb, last but not least, in debate.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Representative, for this bill. I am supportive of this bill. Former county commissioner for 8 years. The only caveat I had is I think there's some merit to the small counties not being able to find some people, but we'll work on that. You know, I heard a lot of the former commissioners, and I've served on boards with some of these commissioners. But I will tell you, I think what's important, and I've beat my head against the wall being up here, is that we need good government structure. Because that way, when we have structure, the people that don't always want to do the things the right way will be held in check. And I think that's what term limits do. They hold you in check. You know, here's an argument about the deep state. Well, we need to find commissioners and representatives and senators and congresspeople who are coming to these elected positions for the right reasons. And if you can't be here and do what you want to do in 12 years, then that's another question that I have. And let me tell you, in closing, the county commission job is a very difficult job. It is not easy. You need to learn a lot about a lot in a very short time frame. And usually it's just sometimes it's a couple days or 48 hours or such. So it's not an easy job, and I do respect what they're doing. But I will tell you, I served with a commissioner that ran afoul of the law. And this wasn't the first time that commissioner did it. It was the second time, and it was a very public event. He was charged with a house of prostitution, and there was tens of thousands of dollars of mail dropped on this commissioner's head, and he still got 12% of the vote. That's why we need term limits. Thank you.
Seeing no more debate, Representative Salzman, you are recognized to close on this bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, committee members, for the conversation today, the debate, the questions. I just want to point out a couple of things. And then I'll shut it down. We talked about people show up. The people of your community have a voice and they pay attention. We just said that. Everybody that's voting down on this bill said they want the local people to decide. I want to ask you, rhetorically, of course, how many thousands of emails from your local constituents have you received for this term limits bill? How many constituents are in the audience right now that are not commissioners or former commissioners screaming that we're preempting them? Stop the madness. Don't take away my vote. Nobody. I mean, maybe you have one. I don't know. I haven't received a single one. If they are so concerned, our constituents who are close to the process, close to our commissioners, if they are so concerned with us voting on term limits that they 82% agree with, then why aren't they here burning the house down? Where's the picket signs? Where's the matching T-shirts? Where are they at? They're not here. Why? because they've already told us what they want. They sent us here to deliver their messages. We all know they want term limits, and that's what this bill does. One more thing. We are working on the small county conversation. As much as I would like to keep it exactly the way it is, I believe you're going to see some changes to help address those issues. So I just want to make sure, even though I did say that I haven't received opposition as far as term limits in general doing that in Tallahassee, I hear the message from the commissioners, by the way, still not my constituents in a small government area, but the commissioners telling me they're concerned that we can't get other people elected. So those rural communities are going to be addressed in the next committee stop. With that, I close.
Thank you, Representative Saltzman. Tamara, please call the roll on CS for HB 57.
Chair Fabricio?
Yes.
Representatives Arrington?
No.
Barnaby?
Yes.
Beltran?
Yes.
Racy Davis?
No.
Caruso?
Yes.
Cheney? Gant?
No.
Griffiths?
Yes.
Harris?
No.
Holcomb?
Yes.
Killebrew?
No, ma'am.
Porras?
Yes.
Rizzo?
Yes.
Robinson?
No.
Tremont?
Yes.
Nine yeas, six nays.
Thank you, Tamara. Show CS for HB 57 reported favorably. Next, we're going to go slightly out of order, and we're going to call CS for HB 101, Public Records and Meetings Social Work, Leisure, Licensure, Interstate Compact by Healthcare Regulation Subcommittee, and Hunchowski. Representative Hunchowski, you are recognized to present this bill.
Thank you, Chair Fabricio, members of the committee. This is the public records bill that's linked to HB 99, which is the social worker compact that will create exemptions to comply with the requirements of the compact, and that is the bill.
Thank you. Members, we're in questions. We're in questions, members. Seeing no questions, there are no amendments. Public testimony?
No.
No public testimony. Is there any debate? Members, we are in debate. No debate. Representative Hunchowski, you are recognized to wave close on this bill.
Wave close, Chair.
Thank you. Tamara, please call the roll on CS for HB 101.
Representatives Arrington?
Yes.
Barnaby? Beltran?
Yes.
Yes.
Racy Davis?
Yes.
Caruso?
Yes.
Cheney? Gant?
Yes.
Griffiths?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Holcomb?
Yes.
Killebrew?
Yes, ma'am.
Porras?
Yes.
Rizzo?
Yes.
Robinson? Tremont?
Yes.
Chair Fabricio?
Yes.
15 yeas, zero nays.
Please show CS for HB 101 reported favorably. Thank you. Next, we're going to move on to CS for HB 85, Public Records, New State Banks and New State Trust Companies by Vice Chair Barnaby from his desk.
Thank you, Chair, Ranking Member, members of the Ethics, Elections, and Open Government Subcommittee, it is my pleasure to present HB 85 to you today. HB 85 creates a public records exemption to protect the personal financial information and personal identifying information of the proposed officers and directors from public disclosure. This exemption will protect these individuals from identity theft, retribution, and loss of employment with their current employers. The exemption also protects the strategic and operational plans of the applicant from public disclosure, which will ensure a fair process and competitive opportunity for applicants. This bill will encourage new bank and trust company applicants to come to Florida, which will provide Floridians with new financial services opportunities and grow our economy and business environment. That is the bill, Mr. Chair, and I ask for the committee's favorable support.
Thank you, Vice Chair Barnaby. Members, we are in questions. Any questions? Seeing none, There are no amendments. Public testimony. We have one comment card. Mr. Ashley Mason. Waves in support. No other public testimony. Members were in debate. Any debate? Seeing none. Vice Chair Barnaby, you are recognized to waive close on this bill.
Waive close.
Tamara, please call the roll on CS for HB 85.
Representatives. Arrington?
Yes.
Barnaby?
Yes.
Beltran?
Yes.
Bracy Davis?
Yes.
Caruso?
Yes.
Cheney? Gant? Griffiths?
Yes.
Harris? Holcomb?
Yes.
Killebrew?
Yes, ma'am.
Porras?
Yes.
Rizzo?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Tremont?
Yes.
Chair Fabricio?
Yes.
13 yeas, 0 nays.
Excellent. Tamara, please show CS for HB 85 reported favorably. Next, we're going to move on to HB 943, Public Records, My Safe Florida Home Program by Representative LaMarca.
Thank you, Chair, Vice Chair, Ranking Member, and members of this committee. This bill is on the great My Safe Florida Home Program. It's been so successful that we have a public exemption bill here that creates a public record exemption for the applications and home inspection reports as a part of this My Safe Florida Home program. Amongst other information, these documents contain pictures of homes and private contact information of the My Safe Florida Home applicants. This exemption will protect sensitive information from unscrupulous individuals, and that is the bill, Mr. Chair.
Very good. Members, questions? Any questions? Seeing none, there is one amendment. Amendment barcode number 527249. Representative LaMarca, please explain the amendment.
Thank you, Chair. This is a clarifying technical amendment, and it is added to match the Senate version in order to clarify the scope of the retroactivity of the exemption. And that's the amendment.
Very good. Members, questions on the amendment? Seeing none. Public testimony on the amendment? None. Debate on the amendment? None. Representative LaMarca, please close on the amendment.
We close.
Thank you. Members, if you favor adoption of the amendment, signify by saying yay.
Yay.
Opposed by saying no. By your vote, the amendment is adopted. We're back on the bill as amended. Public testimony on the bill. We have two comment cards. All right, very good. Chase Mitchell from the Department of Financial Services. Thank you. So that's wave and support. Now we have Tasha Carter from the Office of the Insurance Consumer Advocate. Waves and support. Thank you. No more public testimony. Members were in debate. Seeing none. Representative LaMarca, you are recognized to close on this bill.
Wave close.
Very good. Tamara, please call the roll on HB 943.
Representatives Arrington?
Yes.
Barnaby?
Yes.
Beltran?
Yes.
Bracy Davis?
Yes.
Caruso?
Yes.
Cheney? Gant?
Yes.
Griffiths?
Yes.
Harris? Holcomb?
Yes.
Killebrew?
Yes, ma'am.
Porras?
Yes.
Rizzo?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Tremont?
Yes.
Chair Fabricio?
Yes.
14 yeas, 0 nays.
Thank you, Tamara. Please show HB 943 reported favorably as a committee substitute. Now we're going to move back to HB 587, Public Records, Access to Financial Institution, Customers, Accounts by Representative Rommel. Representative Rommel, you are recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Chairman. This is a what-if bill. This is if 585 passes and is signed by the governor, 587 will create a public exemption of private information that Division of Financial Services would have about any bank that issues a cease and desist or a suspicious activity, and that's the bill.
Thank you, Representative. Members, we are in questions. Seeing none, there are no amendments. Public testimony? No public testimony. Members, we're in debate. Any debate? No debate. Representative Rommel, you are recognized to waive close. Very good. Tamara, please call the roll on HB 587.
Representatives Arrington?
Yes.
Barnaby?
Yes.
Beltran?
Yes.
Bracy Davis?
Yes.
Caruso?
Yes.
Cheney? Gant? Griffith?
Yes.
Harris? Holcomb?
Yes.
Killebrew?
Yes, ma'am.
Forrest?
Yes.
Rizzo?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Tremont?
Yes.
Chair Fabricio?
Yes.
14 yeas, 0 nays.
Thank you. Very good. Show HB 587 reported favorably. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Next, we're going to go to CS for HB 983, Public Records, Clerk of the Circuit Court, Deputy Clerk, and Clerk Personnel by Representative Daly. Representative Daly, you are recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Vice Chair, Ranking Member, and members. House Bill 983 establishes a public records exemption for clerks of court. I believe some of you may know about 8 months ago, I started as an assistant state attorney. It became clear to me that almost everyone in the courtroom other than the clerks of court have that public record exemption. So assistant state attorneys, public defenders, the judge themselves, even the judge's judicial assistant. But you have had cases over the years, and they've become more frequent, of harassment of court personnel. And these are folks that are just merely trying to do their job. So this would put a public records exemption in for the clerks of court. Mr. Chair.
Very good. Members, we are in questions. Any questions? Seeing none, there are no amendments. Public testimony. We have two comment cards. First by Tara Green, Clay County Clerk of Court and Controller. Waves in support. Next, we have Sarah Sanders Bremer, Florida Court Clerks and Controllers. Waves in support. No other public testimony. Members were in debate. Representative Barnaby in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I want to thank Representative Daly for bringing this very good bill. The clerks of the courts are some of our unsung heroes, and they did a yeoman's job during the pandemic. And I'm extremely proud of this bill, and I thank you, Representative Daly, and I ask everyone to vote up on this bill.
Seeing no more debate, Representative Daly, you are recognized to close on the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Briefly, I just wanted to thank you for putting the bill up and committee members for your hopeful support. I did want to say he didn't put in a comment card today, but Clerk of the Court Juan Fernandez-Barquin is supportive of the measure. I don't know if that swayed anyone, but with that, I close.
Well done.
Thank you very much. Tamara, please call the roll on CS for HB 983.
Representatives Arrington?
Yes.
Barnaby?
Yes.
Beltran?
Yes.
Bracy Davis?
Yes.
Caruso?
Yes.
Cheney? Gant, Griffith?
Yes.
Harris? Holcomb?
Yes.
Killebrew?
Yes, ma'am.
Porras?
Yes.
Rizzo?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Tremont?
Yes.
Chair Fabricio?
Yes.
14 yeas, 0 nays.
Thank you, Tamara. Please show CS for HB 983 reported favorably. Thank you. Next, we are looking at CS for HB 103, Public Records, County and City Attorneys by Ranking Member Arrington. Ranking Member Arrington, you are recognized to explain the bill from your desk.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you, Mr. Chair and Vice Chair Barnaby and members of the committee. Today, I'm requesting your support of House Bill 103, which would create a public records exemption for current county attorneys and city attorneys, along with assistant county and city attorneys. Specifically, this bill exempts the home address, dates of birth, and telephone numbers, along with photographs of them. Unfortunately, our municipality attorneys have recently come under attack and stalked, along with their families, as they are representing our municipalities and communities on the front lines in disputes and public meetings. We have lost good county and city attorneys to the private sector because they do not want to put themselves at risk. This is costing the taxpayers more money by shrinking our applicant pool, and requiring more counties to outsource their legal work. This exemption does not apply should they qualify to run for office. That is the bill, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Members, we are in questions. Any questions? Seeing none, there are no amendments. Public testimony. Okay, we have three cards. Mr. Jeffrey Snyder. Okay, very good. Waiving in support. Thank you. Next, we have Martha Edenfield representing Charlotte County. Waives in support. Next, we have Anita, last name Barry. Waives in support. Thank you very much. And last but not least, we have Bob McKay, Florida Association of Counties, who waives in support. Thank you. No more public testimony. Members, we're in debate. Seeing none. Ranking Member Arrington, you are recognized to close on the bill.
I'll waive close, Mr. Chair, but thank you for putting on today's agenda.
Of course. Tamara, please call the roll on CS for HB 103.
Representatives Arrington?
Yes.
Barnaby?
Yes.
Beltran?
Yes.
Bracy Davis?
Yes.
Caruso?
Yes.
Cheney? Gant? Yes. Griffiths?
Yes.
Harris? Holcomb?
Yes.
Killebrew?
Yes, ma'am.
Porras?
Yes.
Rizzo?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Tremont?
Yes.
Chair Fabricio?
Yes.
14 yeas, 0 nays.
Very good. Congratulations. Please show CS for HB 103 reported favorably. Next, without objection, please show HB 965 temporarily postponed. And Representative Rizzo moves that we rise and we conclude our agenda. Without objection, this meeting is adjourned.